Hello, everybody. Today I'm talking, well, karma. Let's just start with that and then we'll leave it. First of all, hello, Dino. How are you today?
Hey, Karina. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you. I'm going to talk a bit about last week we spoke of someone came in and asked a question, right? And after the show, she said, oh, that was a great show. However, it didn't answer my question. So I said, okay, well, what is it that you need to know? And she said, okay, let me tell you a story. First of all, she said, I can use her name. So thank you, Cynthia or Cindy. Thank you for the question. And she said, you know, what we're talking about is karma, you know, how you make a decision in life and it just has consequences for, and things just change in your life. I'm going to go back a moment and tell her story. First of all, I'm going to plug my book for a moment, okay, the Clank of Chains.
And all right, look at that. Plugging
is because she's in the book, okay?
Okay.
Cynthia is someone I met in detention. And the probability of us ever meeting would have been, even though she's from San Diego, we would never have crossed paths. And we became good friends. And that's just a side note. What she's saying is that she got, she came in to her, she was smuggled in when she was two. Her parents brought her in. So she was, and she came into San Diego. She was a San Diegan. She's never been anywhere to Mexico in her life, right? And so she was a typical California girl until she got mixed up with the wrong crowd. And she got a DUI, and then she got another DUI, and then, well, the second DUI, she landed up in detention, and that's where we met. Through it all, because of her DUIs, she obviously didn't, she got deported. She was terrified, okay? She was terrified to be deported. She didn't know anyone in Mexico. She didn't, she'd never been to Mexico. It was terrifying for her. So now what she's saying is that now she's in Mexico. Well, the good part is that she found a beautiful man. Well, at the time, he was a beautiful man, and now she's married with two children, right? So things always work out. However, she's saying, like, how do I accept that because of the mistakes I've made and because of decisions we make in our lives, and it happens all the time, right? How can I accept reality? And how can I not look at the past and beat myself up out about past? I mean, if I hadn't done that, this wouldn't have happened. If I hadn't done this, this wouldn't have happened. So that's the question for today. And I know it's about detention, but you know what, Dino, you can relate to it easily, right?
I've never been in detention.
No, I know that, but you can relate to, I mean, I'm talking about her, but I can relate to the mistakes I've made, which have had a big consequence in my life. They change the whole trajectory of your life, right? So if you make that decision, this happens. But if you go back and you think, oh, maybe if I had made another decision, like for her, if she hadn't got involved with the guy that she had got involved with, if she hadn't got her second DUI, if what? And I mean, we can't change the past. So what do you think?
Well, contrary to the statement, and I respect all statements, I think we did answer it. You have to accept your past and not dwell on it. You know, look, I don't know this person, and I'm only basing this on the few things that you did in your intro, but you did say she is in Mexico. Yeah, she got deported. She's living in Mexico. She met a beautiful man. Obviously, she has children. She's got a family.
Right.
What's there to regret? I mean, that's a beautiful thing, right? Marriage and children. Let me qualify that. Happily married with children.
Well, we'll have to change that a bit because it was happily married. Now we don't know. Okay.
Okay. But, you know, there's always things that you may look at as regrets in your life, or like you said earlier, mistakes. I don't believe there are mistakes. I mean, look, that's like saying that you'll never fail. That's like me saying, and I have said this, well, you know what? I got an investor. It was in my book. I got an investor. They came up with $100,000. How can I fail? I'm never going to fail. You know, and again, this was 19 years old. Well, guess what? Failure happens. But again, you know, if I went back and looked at it like, you know, if this didn't happen, if they didn't use the wrong steel for the ovens that I was making the porcelain plates in, if it didn't oxidize, I could have had a contract with, you know, this plate company, and I would have been making $2 million a year, or you know, at least that was in my head when I was 19. Fast forward. That didn't happen. I didn't make $2 million a year. That company went out of business long ago. I licked my wounds and I moved on. But again, fast forward, that too, and this is the only time I'm going to talk about money, but just in comparison, that too is something that I made literally every week, not year. So do I regret? Did I make a mistake? You know, I think everything in your life is there for a reason. Sometimes you get too cocky and it's God's way of slapping you down and humbling you. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I'm not pushing one thing or the other, but I think you'll drive yourself mad with the shoulda, coulda, woulda questions. And it's unrealistic. It's literally impossible. And all you have is present and future momentum, right? And these mistakes that we're talking about, or like you put it, or, you know, the what ifs, just look at it as practice. You know, I mean, if I was a marathon runner, you know, I can't base my success on my slowest run, which probably would have happened initially. Like if I ran now, I'd be huffing and puffing. I'd be out of breath. You know, yeah, if that discourages you, oh, well, I can't do this because I ran out of breath. You know, I'm tired, you know, but slowly you build up your stamina, you build up momentum, and you obviously learn how to run better. You learn how to pace yourself better. It's all a learning process. So one of the things that we have to address is, are there mistakes in life? Or is everything just a learning process, right?
So, yes, I like that, because one thing that we spoke a lot, and you know, and one thing she always wanted was children anyway. So for me, you have to find the blessings. And now she's got two beautiful children, right? A girl and a boy, which is as perfect, right? So what I always think is, like you say, is look at the blessings. For me, of course, I was arrested as well. And I was in detention for 8.5 months, but it was a blessing because I'm here. I met you. We're having this conversation. So it was a blessing. So that's the way I see it. And maybe she needs to change that attitude. But that's just my thoughts, because that's what I'm thinking. And I'm not telling her what to do.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's really mistakes. It depends how we look at it, right?
It does depend. And I'm not picking on this person per se, but I mean, it just brings up a whole other subject, which is the category of victimhood. Who's got it worse? Who had the roughest road? Who has the worst scars? You ever see people, like even on the movies, it's like, oh, did you get this cut? Oh, let me show you my cut. You know, let me show you my bullet wound. You know, oh, that's nothing. I got two. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but what I'm saying is, look, everybody's had a hard road.
Yes.
Everybody. There's not one. Show me one person that's had the absolute perfect life, and I will tell you, I'll call him a liar, because it's not true. Okay. even royalty has bad days. So just don't think, oh, silver spoon in their mouths. They never had a hard day of their lives. That's a lie, okay? But, you know, everybody's got their hardships. It's how they overcome them. Now, let's just an example. If I was deported and I loved this country, I was deported and I went somewhere, but I met at the time, the woman of my dreams, and I had children with this woman who didn't turn out to be such a dreamboat after all, right? I could stay in a failed marriage. I could stay resentful. I could stay in a situation that I feel that I'm hopeless, right? Without hope. Or I could just say I have beautiful children. I believe in exhausting all efforts. So we're going to try counseling. We're going to try communication. We're going to try all the things that lead up to the inevitable, the D word, divorce. If that's what it is, that's what it is. In my culture, divorce was completely frowned upon. Mm-hmm. But I had to do it anyway. I exhausted all efforts. In my mind, it was the only thing that would prevent us not killing each other. You know, I don't mean that literally, but you know, you have to do things for you. You have to do things to make you happy and to have the happiest life you can, the best life you can. That doesn't just come from hope. Hope without action is just like a wish, right? You have to do something about it.
Yes.
And so, you know, one of the categories that I'm working on now, this whole community, is, I think I've said this before, the as good as it gets community, meaning they do have the white picket fence. They do have the house on the hill. They do have a marriage. They do have children. They have everything that most people, especially perpetuated from movies, think is the life. Or it could be, you know, the hammock that's tied between two palm trees, and everybody, because of commercials and because of movies, think that's retirement. These are fallacies. There's still people, there's a whole community, and I know because I'm helping this community, that is, I'm embarrassed to say how I feel, even to my significant other. I'm embarrassed to say what I'm thinking, even to my close family and friends, because they're gonna say, well, how dare you think like that? You have it all. You have the house on the hill. You got the white picket fence. You got beautiful children. You got a marriage. But so you're mourning alone, basically. That's a tough community. It's harder in many ways to counsel this community than it is for me to counsel the recovery community.
Because the
recovery community is, when you're ready, you're ready. If you're not ready, I can't help you. But, you know, so of course, in the recovery community, there's denial, there's excuses, there's the deflection, you know, all the things that we all know are typical with this type of addiction. But now this good as it gets community, they can't even express their deepest, darkest thoughts because it's unheard of. It's a shocker. It's even a more shamed community, believe it or not, than the recovery community.
Sure. Yes. Makes sense.
The reason I'm like saying it like this is because for me, it's a wild revelation. I never in my life, first of all, expected that I would touch on any community when I wrote my book. Okay. Let alone separate and distinct categories that I can now talk about. And I'm just like, whoa, right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, people need to know this stuff. People need hope. People don't have hope in their lives, right? Mm-hmm. But hope itself isn't the answer. It's just the beginning. I had an argument the other day with one of my kindergarten classmates. And every once in a while, you know, like this week I'm posting mentors' statements, the mentors in my life. Some of them people will get, some of them they won't get. I don't care. I mean, they mean something to me. That's why I post them. Mm-hmm. But one of them, he came back and he, let me think about what it was. Oh, It was stopped. The post that I did was from a mentor of mine, great mentor. And he would always scold me and say, stop talking. You can't hear hopes and dreams when you're selling features and benefits.
Yes. Now,
some people may not understand what that means. So let me tell you what it means for me, right? Who cares how beautiful a car is or how fast it goes or what's under the engine or, you know, the price of the car, how many miles it has. If it's not the car I want, I'm just talking. I'm not connecting, right? So to use a better thing is, you know, I always say that price is not necessarily the determining factor of a sale. You think it is, but it really isn't. It's the emotional connection that you reach with your customer. It's the connection that serves them best, that is when they feel that. And the only way to get that out is to understand what their hope and dream is. If I'm not connecting on that level, I can't hear them. They can't hear me. It's like two passing ships in the night. You see what I mean? So anyway, he's an engineer and he sent back, he goes, never mind the hopes and dreams. He goes, what you need to do is have a plan. And so I responded, I said the engineer to the entrepreneur, you know, laughing. But isn't it funny how a plan is determined by your dream?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you can have a hope, you can have a dream. Now what do? Because if you don't take action on it, it's just a hope and a dream.
Yeah.
What do you do to change the trajectory in your life? How do you alter it? It's with action, right? So to all the as good as it gets people out there, one, rethink why you feel it's so bad, why you're not fulfilled. I mean, it could be a whole slew of things. It could be spiritual. It could be self-esteem. It could be confidence. It could be a whole bunch of stuff. But, you know, it all starts there.
Yes.
Now, I still don't think I answered her question, but this is a good starting point.
Yes. It's right. I think it's about looking at what you've got, exactly what you were saying. I'm just going to say it in my words. Looking at around you and saying, hey, look, what have I got? What resources have I got? Okay, I've got two beautiful children. And, you know, my marriage is like, but maybe we can figure it out. But what can I do exactly there? How can I change what I'm not liking right now? And sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes we're so inside our own heads. And I'm talking like I can talk about myself. Sometimes I'm so inside my own head that the stories I've told myself just don't make sense. And I land up being afraid. And that's something that we have to make sure that we don't fight, that we need to be able to have someone to talk to or write or do whatever to break that, and then so that we can see the future or can see what the next step is.
And be careful who you talk to as well.
Yes, that's important.
I'm not plugging my book, but it's just funny how when you're going through this stuff, it just reminds me of different chapters. This particular chapter in the book was devoted. The title is Validation.
Yes.
Be careful who you talk to, though, because if I'm having a rough time at home, or in my business career, or a self-esteem issue or something like that, be careful who you talk to, because you may be talking to the person who feels just like you. And what I liken it to is you're petitioning somebody for the same feeling that you're feeling.
Yes.
And what happens, instead of liberating or making you feel better, now it's two people with a common misery. Well, this is normal because so-and-so feels like this, so I'm feeling like this, so this is great. Oh, we're soul sisters. We're kindred spirits. We're this. And what you're doing is you're grounding yourself like a chicken that has its head down. You know, I'm not making fun of these things. I'm just saying that, again, I mean, I've touched on a community it totally makes sense to me. I mean, and there were many countless times in my life where I felt that too. Mm-hmm. I'm doing great. I'm making a lot of money. I have the family I always wanted. I have the friends I always wanted. Why am I still not happy?
Yes.
It could be a lot of things. Yes. I don't have a quick answer. I'm sorry, guys.
No.
It could be a lot of things. But until you understand that it's not bad to feel that way, but I'm not going to talk to somebody who also feels that way. I'm going to use my own way of looking at it, right? Validation for me is feeling something very strongly, doing something about what I'm feeling, even against all opposition, against people that have called me crazy or stupid or silly. I mean, they called me worse, but they have called me these things. And then seeing the results, and then seeing the critics. First, there's shock and silence.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And then all of a sudden, they start asking you for advice. Isn't that funny? The same people who ridiculed me that said I was crazy and stupid and dumb, the same people that were shocked and silent, like, it may not work, but I don't want to say anything because what if it does work? So I'm just going to watch the observers. And then later on, the people that are like, hey, you know what? This is a great thing you did. And by the way, do you have a job for me? Because I'm between jobs right now. This happened to me, so I could talk about it, right? Initially, what you want to do is, aren't you the same person that was basically calling me this, this, and that? You know, resentment. But you just let it go and understand it's human nature. It's okay.
I think that's also quite difficult to do for some people, where you start beating yourself up and you feel that resentment towards life, right? So how did you get over that? How did you get over it to say, like, okay, well, hey, you know what? I'm the bigger person here. So, okay, I'll give you a job or not. I'm just saying.
Well, you don't look at it as being the bigger person. And in the past, I'm not going to say that I didn't fall for it and give people positions that they weren't qualified for, nor did they deserve. I will say that. But then you got to think again about human nature. You know, if I offered you a pile of money, but you weren't necessarily perfect for the position I'm giving you, you wouldn't say no, or most people wouldn't say no. They take it and then do what I call learn by doing. Okay, he wants me to do this. How do I do it? Well, let me just look it up. Yeah, it's great to pay you to go to school on my dime. You know, and I've done that a lot. Do I regret it? Wasn't my finest hour, but again, you just let it go. You know what I mean? If you just, this isn't a deposition where I'm trying to win the favor of a courtroom or win the favor of public opinion. I mean, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, how do you get out of it is, this doesn't serve me. And at the risk of hurting your feelings, yeah, I like you. I'm sure you need a job. But what I'm looking for is a specialist. I'm looking for an expert. I'm looking for a background of XYZ, somebody who's already done XYZ that can prove it. It's just a different approach. And I learned that from trial and error. I don't sit there and say, oh, do you know how much money I lost getting conned by this person and that person? Yeah, whatever. Let it go. Yes. Let it go. You just got to keep moving on.
Yes. Yes. And also, I like that you can look at it and say, okay, what can I learn from this experience, and take it and then move on with it. Like you, and it takes a lot of courage as well to be able to know what you want. Again, we spoke about this last week and we speak about it all the time. But it's, again, about doing that deep dive, about learning about yourself and starting to love yourself enough so that you can say, hey, this is not what I want, or this is what I want, with conviction, right? And then be able to move towards it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't always know what I want. I mean, I know that there's a feeling. I think this is the way to do it. I may adjust my game based on even treading forward. I mean, it's not a, it's not an exact science. It's not like you press the button, you're going to hit your target. But 100% certainty is it is forward. That I know. If you have to change your course 5 or 6 degrees to the right or to the left or up or down, I mean, that's part of life. But you, I think you discount when you have to have a keen understanding of human nature. It's not picking on a person. It's all people. Human nature. It's human nature to see a pile of money and want it. It's human nature to want to be liked. To hope you're respected. It's human nature to have prestige and have your name and in the headlines. And it, you know, I mean, these aren't like Dino traits. They're everybody traits, right? And some of these human nature, these characteristics that we have, you got to just keep compartmentalizing them and putting them in their proper place, right? My name in lights is less important today than it was 25 years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
My need to have X amount of zeros in the bank is less today than it was 25 years ago. Now, does that change the fact that, you know, money is still important? Yeah, of course it is. It feeds your family. You could use it for, you know, charitable efforts. You could do it for a lot of things. It gives you freedom, right?
Yes. Yes, yes.
But more so than that, there's the excess that, you know, it's never enough and never enough. And you just got to slap yourself down and say, you know, it's never going to be enough. But you have to channel your efforts into other things that are more rewarding than money. So, you know, but if I didn't understand human nature the way now I'm better at understanding, all of these things would seem to me as a shock and a surprise. And I'm tired of being shocked and surprised. I'm more accepting these days than, oh my God, I can't believe this person. Well, believe it. Believe it. And it's not the only person that's going to shock me, right?
Yes.
Just believe it and you move on. You're not going to cure cancer by going back to that person and showing them, you know what? You did this. And this is how I felt, and this is why I did what. What are you trying to win? Are you trying to win a courtroom battle? Are you on a reality show? What is the urge to go back and show that person up? There's none. There's no upside.
Yes, yes. Well, that's what I said. Just learn the lesson, move on. Sometimes that's the best thing to do. What's the point of confronting them or whatever? You know, that doesn't even make sense. Yes, I agree with you. So to go back to how do you not beat yourself up for things that you've done? Okay, so I think we've spoken about that. And then how do you accept reality again? I think you've spoken about that as well.
Yeah, same answer as last week. Reality is different at different times in your life based on where you're at and what's important to you and your priorities. But it is the present moment. It's not the past. It's not the past. I keep going back to this cheesy movie, but Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico, is sitting there lamenting about 1982. Oh, back in 1982, I used to throw this pigskin a quarter mile. You know, I know it's a joke and everything, but he's stuck in the 80s, man. I mean, it's, you know, it's 40 years later and he's still stuck in the 80s. The reality is now. What am I doing now? Forget about the past. Forget about tomorrow, right? We know there's hope and we know that there's forward motion. We talked about that, but right about now. Right now, I need to be accepting and happy with where I currently am today. And so let's talk about today. If today I'm not feeling great, I have the power to change my mood in less than 2 seconds. If you're really good, you can do this. right? And it's not lying to yourself. It's not tricking yourself. It's just, again, half full, half empty glass of water. It's how you look at life. That's it. You had a bad moment. It's a bad moment. Move on.
Yes. So how do you change your mood?
Exactly like I said. I mean, I'm not going to dwell on the negatives of my day. I'm going to dwell on the positives of my day, which almost always outweigh the negatives.
Yes, for sure.
And if they outweigh the negatives, then I have a win at the end of the day in that column, in the win column. That's how I look at it. Everything for me is just self, these little games that I've always played with myself to just get the most out of the moments. So I have a boring job, right? I made it fun to see how fast I could do a task, because for me it was fun and a little competitive and probably a little insane, but I still did it anyway. And guess what? Next thing you knew, I remember it was like 5 o'clock, the day was over, and it was fun, if only that I was competing against myself with these mundane little projects. But your day passes, you feel fulfilled, you feel rewarded, you feel validated, you feel all the things that are just as important back then when I was 16 years old as they are now.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're just not so singularly important. You know what I mean? And again, this is all habitual. It's a, you know, you don't just wake up one day and say, today I'm going to think like a Zen master. It takes a lifetime to think like that sometimes. And it takes practice, right?
But you know, there's that Zen saying, what is it? Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. So you still have to live life, right? Even after you've enlightened and even after you're a Zen master, you still have to do the mundane things of life anyway.
Right.
And so, just depends how you do them, Mark.
More Rembrandt, and age 87, I am still learning. I posted that too. I didn't know that, but I learned it because I was on my famous artist quote kicks. You know, sometimes I'll put stuff on and it actually fascinates me because you wouldn't expect an artist to write this. So here's a guy who's 87 years old, painted the most beautiful things in history. And he says, I am still learning.
Yes.
What does that make you feel like when you hear somebody say that at age 87? It's saying, you know what? I got a long way to go, right?
But also you could look at it and say, well, you know, that's exciting because there's always things to learn, right?
But there are always things to learn. It's just, yes. It's the person that thinks that they know everything and they've arrived. Okay. That's the person that you got to look, you know, you got to be watching out for, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you know everything about yourself and everything about your mannerisms and about your characteristics and hopes and dreams and stuff like that, you got to understand that you are one person in a bubble and the world is still changing around you. So now you have infinite ways to learn, more so than just learning about yourself. You'll never stop learning.
No.
You could live 1,000 lifetimes and you'll never stop learning. So the people that are like, oh, I know everything there is to know, you know, that's the person you got to watch out for.
That's true. And also go back, even if you are in your little bubble, your day, because of the interactions you have during the day, you're learning anyway. So the person that's here having this conversation will be different like tomorrow, I mean, in subtle ways, right? Or different ideas because of the interactions you have or the experiences you have today, right?
Absolutely. That's life. That's life. So, you know, Karina, the more we talk, the more I understand that we're probably never going to answer your friend's question pitch perfect. We're never going to answer it in one complete sentence that just like, oh, thank you, I have the answer. There's so many ways to answer this one thing. And basically, it's not even a question, is it? You know what I mean? I'm in a certain stage in my life. This is how I feel. And I don't know why I feel. Give me the answer why I'm feeling this way. I can't do that.
Yes.
I can't tell you why you're feeling this way. I can't give you one canned answer. In case of emergency, open and, you know, break glass. It just doesn't work that way. You got to look at your life and what you want to do, first of all. And that's the other thing is I've been in relationships where the person assumes my life and my identity and my reason for living and my passion. And rightfully so, I would turn around and say, you know, I'm very flattered and yeah, I could use the help, but what do you want to do? You can't understand how many times I heard, I don't know.
Yes.
Well, if you don't know, how am I going to know? Yes. I'm not you. See what I mean? You got to live your life for yourself and for your needs. And you have to fulfill. It's not selfish to think that way. You have to find purpose in your own life that isn't a parroting of your partner's life. You're an individual. You have hopes, needs, dreams, desires, just like everybody else on the planet. And if you start living somebody else's life is already taken, you got to live yours, right?
Yes, I like that. But you need to know what you want. So I think that would be the starting point. You're right. So right. What do you want? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What is your purpose and meaning?
Right.
Because then you can, when your hopes and your dreams, then you can work from there, right? Because then you've got some kind of drawing on your canvas of life and you can start imagining and working with it. I mean, it doesn't always work that way because you have one idea in your head. And as you start moving, like you always say, as you start moving towards the idea, things change all the time.
Right.
So, but at least you're moving towards something.
At least you're moving towards something. And they also have an invention, since you're talking about a canvas, they have a thing called paint thinner. So if you don't like what you've drawn, erase it and start over. Yes. That's the other thing. Well, I'm too old to start over.
No.
Okay. You know, one of my mentors was, quote, you know, he used to always say, and if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it. So simple, but it's basically like, who cares? Yes. You don't like what you see? Scrap it. Start again. Don't sit there and say, oh, you know how much time I worked on that? It's garbage. It doesn't serve your purpose. Start again. Right?
Yes. And that's okay.
Yeah.
No, I can't start again. I've said I was going to do this. So now, but no matter what. And that's another thing that we have to realize, that it's okay.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's about your life, right? And it's what you want in your life.
Right. Right. So, you know, to the as good as it gets group, and I was one of them from time to time, so I'm not poking fun at this group, but it's a very large group. There should be no bucket lists before you die. Okay, I know the movie, it was cute and everything, two older guys at the end stage of their lives, and they have this wish list of things that they want to do, and it was great, and it was a great movie. But if you really think about it, if you're living life without limits, to plug my magazine, you shouldn't have any bucket lists. You should have been able to experience everything you wanted to do within reason. Okay, but everything that you wanted to do, so the main thing is no regrets.
Yes.
Right? Yes. As bad as I've ever had it, as hard as the landings I've fallen on my head, and believe me, they've been really hard, I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. And I know that's kind of hard for people to understand, but I just don't regret anything that's happened in my life. It's made me a better person.
Yes.
And so how can you have regrets for that?
Yes, I love that. I agree with you. It makes you who you are today.
Yeah.
So exactly. There's no regrets. And that's probably a good point to start with, because it's so easy to say, you know what, hey, if I hadn't come to America, I hadn't met whoever, and I hadn't got into detention or whatever, and oh no, life is, but it's not true. It's all, everything was a blessing, and there are no regrets. So there's no regrets about anything. And it's also a mindset, I think. It's just the way you look at things and the way you see things, and you realize it makes you a much better whole person. That's not even a right word.
No, but it's exactly. I mean, it's everything, all the little things that we've touched on in this segment are very important. I mean, they're simplistic beyond simplistic. That's just like, come on, Dino, get out of here. You're giving me all these proverbs like you're some special. It's not supposed to be a special statement. It's just supposed to be the most blatantly obvious statement. And isn't it funny how, you know, when you have tunnel vision and when you get focused on something just so much that you fail to see the world around you, it's just like somebody that I had a meeting with that gave me something to look over. And I said, I don't know anything about your business. Why do you want me to look at this? He said, fresh eyes. As my father said to me, when you get so focused, you could trip over, he said, dead bodies, and you wouldn't even notice. Where I would say, oh my God, there's a room full of dead bodies. You know, you don't see it because you're so conditioned to overlook it, that sometimes it takes a fresh approach, fresh eyes, fresh perspective, to kind of point out something that's painfully obvious.
Yes, yes.
So don't take these little proverbs as like, oh, wow, you're dumbing it down for the audience. I'm not. I'm just saying that these things, the painfully obvious ones, are the ones that we most overlook. We're all into the cleverly written, clever statements. The simple ones are the ones that we take for granted.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
To your friend, okay, you're in the house on the hill with a white picket fence, you have two kids, and your marriage is or not. The statement that I'm going to make is, and now what? And I'll leave it at that. There's your answer.
Yes. I love that. That's a beautiful way to in the show. Thank you, Dino. This was a good one. Thank you, and safe travels.
Oh, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
We'll
see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Break fear, find freedom. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone. Bye, Dino. Thank you.
Bye-bye.